didn't we? We're getting good. Amen. Well, we want to welcome all the live streamers. We thank you that you're joining us tonight, and we just ask you to join in and worship the Lord with us tonight. We're going to stand up, and we're going to give God some glory. How often do you get winter and fall at the same time? Probably about every year in Ohio, I guess, but we were driving down the road yesterday going to Columbus, and there was the fall trees and the snow on the ground. I said, fall and winter, all in one place. But it's beautiful, isn't it? Everything God created is beautiful. And that means you. He created you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I think he's worthy of us to stand up and worship him tonight and give him our all. Amen? Amen. Father, we just come before you and we just give you glory tonight. We are thankful for so many things, but we are thankful that you are our Father. We are thankful that you love us. We are thankful that you keep us in your arms, that you watch over us, that you go before us. We're thankful that you brought us into your kingdom. And we just give you glory and honor and praise tonight, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I count on one thing. And the same God that never fails will not fail. Fail me now in the waiting, and the same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. The same God who never fails, he won't fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. And the same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will seek for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will.
anticipate his move. Your miracle is waiting. Watch him move. Reach out your hand and touch him as he passes by. The time is now for faith.
Never sleeps, never nor slumbers. He He's never so far away that he can't hear your voice. Listen, his ear is tuned to your voice. So press into him. Press into him. Amen.
Miracles, miracles.
come on tonight. Who needs a move? We need a move. Let's lift our hands tonight and say we need a move. Oh, we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. 'Cause miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room.
Come on, let's speak that tonight prophetically. This is a move right here in Canton. This is a move, an undeniable move. This is a move.
I tell you what, I didn't lie to them people one bit. I told them that there's two mega cities, two epicenters of God in Ohio that they better pay attention to. And I told them, I said, Kenton, Ohio, hallelujah. They said, do you mean Canton, Ohio? I said, no, the old football Hall of Fame, that's old news. They said, do you mean Cleveland, Ohio? I said, no, the old Rock Hall of Fame, whatever. And even my Browns, that's old news. I said, they said, what about Columbus? I said, no, it might have been one of the fastest growing cities a while back. But I got to tell you something. There's two powerhouses in Ohio that you have to pay attention to. One of them is Canton, Ohio. I said, the other one is Botkins, Ohio. So needless to say, I left the travel people in Hawaii confounded, but those things that are foolishness to the world are wisdom to God. And I tell you what,
amen.
You have just begun to see what God's going to do across these regions.
Amen.
You know, we were talking about this is a move and how miracles can happen in just a moment of time. And this is just the moment where I'm going to tell you that we know that it takes about 9 months for a baby to come. Amen. So that's why Amber and Logan are not here. Hey, hallelujah, are not here because they just gave birth.
All too well.
Amen. But they just gave birth to a brand new little baby.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But you know, there's all kind of birthing and renewings and new beginnings that can happen in 9 months. And it's not always just about the natural birth of a child. Sometimes it's the birthing of a brand new redemption and a possession of your life. So we have someone here who has just got victory over a 9-month recovery battle. So I'm going to let them come up and say their name and tell us just a minute what God's done.
First, I want to thank Ashley for coming
from.
Many of you know Ashley. Some of you newer ones may not know Ashley. She is the worship leader at Only Believe Ministries in Botkins. and she's also a part of us.
That's right.
So whenever she comes over here, we don't give her special treatment or anything. She's family.
Amen. She gets to go to work.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
And we're thankful for her.
I guess I'm going to thank you twice because I was going to wait till after we do the offering because I might want a song for offering.
Okay.
We might do just not a whole thing.
Can you prepare her now?
What song do you think I might want to do? What's one of the newer ones that they do? We just did We Need a Move, and that one's powerful. That one lit me up to nobody's business. But what else do they got? Yeah.
How many of you appreciated Ashley today? Amen? Love you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Ashley, what do you got in your heart for offering? Just give us a little something. I'd like something newer, but when we get there, you think about it, and then you get these guys on the same page with you. But anyhow... So what we're going to do right now is have someone come up and tell us what they're not celebrating for 9 months. Shannon, come up here.
Come on, girl.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. First off and foremost, I want to thank God for I've been clean 9 months from heroin. Favorite verses of the Bible that I go by is I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Yes.
Philippians 4:13, and I just give him all the praise and all the glory and thank him.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, young lady. Whoa. Now, I'm going to tell her that she has about 3 more months to talk about being in recovery, and then after that, once she hits a year, I'm going to tell her, okay, you're no longer an addict. You're no longer in recovery. Amen. You've been redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ. And you can live the rest of your life through Jesus who gives you strength. Amen. Boy, as you guys can tell, I'm a little bit riled up, a little bit winded up. Not any much more than normal, but I am. Before we go much farther, I just want to thank you guys for being here. And I want to tell you something that... there are times when a pastor can come and preach something that God lets him preach. But there are also times where, really, what's delivered unto you is at your discretion. Well, no, you always get... No. Listen to me. A pastor does... And a pastor, apostle, evangelist, prophet, teacher, don't matter what they are. They don't always get to preach what they want to preach or what they came prepared to do. Because quite frankly, it's your responsibility to be prepared for something. I'm going to tell you something. If you come in here like criny, whiny little milk-needing babies, that's all a man can preach. Paul did not say, hey, I'm going to withhold preaching strong meat to you because I want to. He said, I have come prepared with strong meat, but I cannot release it because you have been found to be in need of milk again. And what he was really saying is that to whom much is given, much is required. You know what? If I release a strong word to you and you're not able to handle it, it's not going to be a blessing. It's going to cause you hardships. So if you want strong meat, then quit looking at the pulpit because I'm ready to give you strong meat. Start looking at yourselves and get yourselves prepared. Get out of the flesh realm and the darkness realm so that when you come. And I'm not saying you. I'm talking to all the new people that are going to come. Get out of the flesh realm and have yourself ready to receive strong meat. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we're going to do one more thing because we have a young lady back here who's been out for some time and she's had seizures and all kinds of things going on. But we're going to pray for you tonight, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Mary has used her faith, God. She's used her faith. And Lord, I just curse seizures. Bone deterioration. God, even this hip displacement, God, I curse it at the root. And right now, we loose the working of miracles, gifts of healing in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, to every joint. Healing to every joint, to every muscle, God. Bone, let it be recreated and restructured, Father. And God, I curse whatever's lacking in her system that would cause seizures, Father. Lord, I speak to nerves. Cell tissue, brain tissue. God, I speak to God, the makeup of her system, Father. whatever's lacking, I command it to come and be loosed into her, Father. Lord, I even speak to pain that it begins to alleviate and dissipate and move. And God, she's going to find herself up and moving around, Lord, especially even at her home, this blessed home you've given them, God. Lord, she hasn't even been able to enjoy it to the fullest because of this restriction. But God, that turns tonight. Her page turns tonight, Father. Just like the man at the pool of Bethesda. Lord, once you spoke your word, supernaturally came around. And God, we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what else do we have to do? Oh, I got something to do. This Saturday, men, I need you to come out to the last men's breakfast of the year, and I need you to bring your spouse. Jared has promised me that he's going to have children taken care of, and I need you to come out, bring your spouse. The kids can be watched right here in the church. We'll probably have a little something for them. And here's what I want you to do. I need you to stand up like men and be accountable.
They are.
Stay out of my business. This is men's business.
You invited me in when you said I could come to the breakfast.
You wait till the breakfast. Right now I'm talking to men.
Right.
Okay, so now listen. I need men to be adjusting their schedule. I need you to be there. I need you to be willing to stand up in the middle of Victory Plaza and say who you are and what you believe God for this year. And I need to know, did you become successful, or do you still got more work, or what are you picking for next year to be engaged in? So there's a couple men that I owe a book, but I decided that I ain't bringing it till Sunday just in case they don't show up. I'm going to hold their book until we go back to men's breakfast again. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So do that.
Anyhow, I don't know if that's fair or not, but right now it's what I'm thinking. Amen.
I got your back, boys. I'll help you.
I got one of them. I might read it myself. Praise the name of the Lord.
We do have to go over announcements. Remember, we're going to do what we did last year for Christmas Eve service. And if you would like to do a Christmas song, if you would like to sing a Christmas song, no jingle bells. You know, Grandma got ran over by reindeer.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. But a Christian Christmas song. It's Christ-centered. You just come see me. We're going to have, we'll give you time to come in and sing it to us. And we'll have tryouts for that. We can't wait for that because we loved that last year. We loved it. So that's why we want to open it up again this year. But it is for Christmas Eve. So Candy, who so graciously has already signed up, if you've not seen that out there on Facebook, she's now bowing out saying she's not going to be here for Christmas Eve. So
what?
We might get her performance before or after. We'll see.
I tell you what, it's coming after. If she ain't here for Christmas,
I showed it
she
to
can
her.
Just, yep, yep.
Well, she's got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Amen. 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 Just get yourself ready, Miss Visitor.
Miss Visitor. So anyway,
when you visit us
on Christmas Eve, if you would like to do that, let me know. Or when Linda gets back, let Linda know, and we'll set up a time with you to come in. And then what else do we have? Remember, the only service that we're having Thanksgiving week is the Sunday services. There's no midweek service that week. And then on Christmas week, Christmas Eve is our only service for that week. We will have our regular Sunday services, but Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock, we move it up an hour. So at Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a candlelight service here at the church. And again, we're inviting people to come out and sing with us.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Is that all I got?
I think so.
For now, that's all I think I do have. Women's Christmas party. Woo woo.
Stop spending my money, girl. She already hurt me. She already hurt me this week.
Okay, women's Christmas party. Don't forget, that is the first Saturday in December, which I believe is December 7th. And we will have details this Sunday, correct? We'll have a sign-up sheet and everything this Sunday. So that's exciting. So women, we talked about this last year. So that date should have been blocked off on your calendar so that we can come together and have a great time. Amen?
Mm. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, now Sunday, I'm going to do a teaching on tithe and offering. Are we supposed to release the children?
Yeah.
Let's release the children. Noah, you look a little eager to get away from my voice, Pay. So what I'm going to do is Sunday, I'm going to be doing a very serious talk on offering. And right now, I want to finish this year because this last month, especially the month of October, I've been challenging you that I'm not really giving you a scripture. I'm not really preaching at you. I want it to be determined in your mind why you believe in tithing and offering. This is not a social club. This is not an Eagles club, which I'm not saying anything against the Eagles. This is not bowling alley club. This is not some social program where you come in and pay your $8 to belong or your $500 to the golf club to belong, golf course to belong. This is a time for you to establish your faith around the promises of God. Amen. The tithing and offering covenant where God says he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. The tithing and covenant where God says that he will rebuke the devourer and he will bless your seed. Both the seed of your body and the seed of the works of your hands. And he says he will rebuke the devourer and he will open up the windows of heaven on your behalf and bestow upon you. The Bible says in Luke that he will bestow upon you good measure, pressed down, running over. People will have favor on you and you will experience God. Amen?
Amen.
I received some favor this past week. Did I tell you about that? Oh, yeah, that's the favor I received from you, the favor to be alive. Because I get the 489 and a half times of forgiveness every day.
Every day
I get the 489, and I'm good for the last 5 minutes. I'm frozen in time. And then as soon as 12 o'clock hits, whoo, I can start my bad behavior again. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But listen to me, tonight, you are going to release your faith. And you're going to give to God because of what he's producing in your life. Father, the Bible says that if your people would sow sparingly, they're going to reap sparingly. But God, if they will sow bountifully, Father, Lord, if they will be tithers and offering givers, Father, Lord, if they will give and release seeds of faith, God, you will supernaturally touch what they release into your hands, Father. Lord, even though they're giving to this offering tonight, Lord, first of all, they're supporting this house so there would always be meat, spiritual meat in your house and provision in your house. But God, they are also touching heaven right now. Lord, they're touching you. Father, they are invoking your divine supernatural grace upon their life. And Father, as they come and sow and as they give, God, I thank you for the worship team. I thank you for each of their lives. I thank you for their tithes and offerings, God, and their obedience to you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Gates joining in. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Bring your tithes forward.
Oh, you can bring your offering.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 I'm
family to family. Thank you so much for coming and being with us. Ashley, 2020, the year of plenty.
Amen.
I see something different for you and Andrew.
Amen.
You guys have been blessed, but I tell you that I was praying, and even when I was coming home today, the Lord just kept hitting me with this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, when we have right standing with God, do you understand that it's like a magnet that draws blessing? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all everything will be added unto you. What we don't realize is that speaks of a magnetic force. Have you ever seen metal on a real strong magnet? A magnet that gets too close to another one, they'll just join themselves together. You can't stop it. You can even try to get your hand in behind, between it. They'll flip around your hand and draw themselves together. That's what it's like when we seek God.
Amen.
And I see you and Andrew. Y'all got God coming your way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Wow. I tell you what. I feel like I could preach till midnight tonight.
Amen.
Of course, I don't want anybody to fall out of a tree and break their neck, so... Hallelujah. I'm hoping that's not required for the time that I preach till midnight. Get a refreshing and preach till the next morning. Okay, who remembers our topic that we're talking about? Oh, see, I didn't do a good job laying it into you last week. Our topic tonight is renewing and no spewing. Amen? Renewing and no spewing. And why we're going to start talking about this is because it's absolutely critical for us to remember that Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, I want you to know something. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you know that God's laying out your right to be attached to death or to be attached to life? And I want you to know something. The order up there is not by happenstance. The reason it speaks death and life is because everybody starts in darkness. You understand that? And you can't have the proper order of life until you understand. John 5:24 says that every person must pass from death into life. And what that means is that even though we're living and breathing on this earth, we are all of that, but we also have a responsibility at some point to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, folks, that we get the opportunity to make this choice. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they go. Look at this. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I want you to understand something right now. Your life is going to be made up of the death you speak or the life you speak. And I want you to understand something. And let's just be honest. We are where we're at because of what we've believed and what we've spoke to this point in our life. And I want to put you on notice. Notice number one. What are you speaking over your future? Because what's coming out of your yapper today is going to be what's in your future tomorrow. And I tell you what, I expect you to be bold in your confession. I don't expect you to say, well, Lord, in the next 20 years, you're going to add 50 cents to my paycheck. No, I suspect that many of you are believing to be debt-free, to be promoted. I tell you what, I don't want to tell you what I believe I'm going to be tithing in the next 2 to 5 years, but I tell you what, if you're going to be one of the biggest givers in this church, you're going to have to be a big giver. Because I'm just telling you that I'm getting a little personal tonight because I can. I sit down and I make a vision of what I'm believing for Regina, what I'm believing for Philip, what I'm believing for the church, what I'm believing within myself. I want you to know that I do not think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I think I'm all that in 10 bags of chips. But I still got lots of work to do. Believe me, if you don't believe so, just ask Miss Regina. She will tell you. I still have to pick up my dirty clothes. I still have to clean up the messes I make, and sometimes I'm a wild man in the kitchen, and it looks like sudden destruction after I've been through, like a little tornado. So there are things that I definitely need to work on and clean up. But I'm telling you, Ashley, look, you look like you're in too much agreement with that last comment. You stop Amen. It. But what I want you to understand is that God is asking us to be renewers, not spewers. Now, I want to show you something in the Bible. Hey, how about that? We look at something in the Bible. And I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 11, I believe. And I'm going to read something to you out of verse 13. Now, therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Now, this is Saul that they're choosing, but I want you to see what words were spoken. Samuel the prophet is speaking, and he says, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Hallelujah. Well, I thought it had my favorite word in it. Hallelujah. Well, I must not have been looking at the right transition, because it says that for part of this, it was supposed to say the word renew. But I want to tell you what the word renew means. In this very scripture, when Samuel was causing them to set themselves again and to start choosing to have a king reign over them, he was still challenging them to put the lordship of God back on their life. And I want you to see what this word means here. It means that when we start letting God be restored unto us, he said, let's restore the kingdom. That means that we're going to cooperate as a corporate and at an individual level. It means to resume or to reestablish. And it means to speak or give fresh life or strength to something. Do you know that at any point in your walk with God, if you were to come to the end of your joy, if you were to come to the end of your peace, if life ever became mundane to you, if the changes of life, age, and different things that we go through, if that started to deteriorate your relationship, do you recognize that at any moment you could open up the word and you could bend to restore? And not only could you begin to restore, but what's going to be so powerful is that you can establish and you can give fresh life and strength to a situation. It means to repeat. It means to go back to a starting point and begin again. This renewing means to extend for a further period of something. Do you know that sometimes when you lease something, you can renew the lease? Hello? Do you know that you might be at a hotel stay and you could go down and say, hey, can I stay till next Thursday? Do you know that you can have a contract or you can have a housing lease and you can get to the end of that lease and you could renew it and get to stay another 10 years? How many things, people, have we not followed through because time and our heart ran out and we never went back to God to renew? We began to spew. Well, I thought by now this would have happened. Well, I thought by now I would be debt free. Well, I thought by now that God would have moved me. I thought by now that God would have blessed me. See, we start taking on mouth talk instead of God walk. Because the faith statement says this, how long has God proclaimed that the blood of Jesus will set us free from the foundation? And guess what he's still proclaiming right now? the blood of Jesus will set you free. Listen, if you've been cranky, rebellious, agnostic, and hated God from now to your 85th birthday, guess what? God is still believing over you. That you're going to repent, that you're going to be saved. And I'm telling you right now, I really want to challenge you. Who in your life or what situation in your life have you carved in to a frozen negative place with no hope for it to ever be redeemed? Hallelujah. Boy, I feel like we should sit on that for a minute. What situation or what person have you carved into a dark place and you have determined that that's all it's going to be? Some of you have been in debt so long, you're still believing that you're going to be in debt when you're 98 years old. Some of you have been so bitter, you still expect yourself to be bitter when you're 943 years old. But you can't do that because you'll be in heaven by that time. If you're going to live 943 years, it's going to be in the afterlife. And I'm telling you right now, bitterness can't be a part of your future. Only happiness, righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You guys might not know this, man, but I've been listening to a little bit of this old guy named Ron Canole. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. But one of his favorite songs is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got to tell you something, Christian. If you're not experiencing righteousness, peace, enjoy in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis, it's because we were doing too much spewing and no renewing. You know the worst thing that can happen when your relationship hits a bump in the road? Well, my relationship with who? Well, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your best friend, your relationship with your church, your relationship with your job, your relationship with your neighbor. Do you know one of the worst things you can do in that environment? Is keep going over the negative problem. Hello? We will lock into the negative moment so much that even 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, we've infused the negative more than we've ever infused life. I love you, but if I hurt your feelings 10 years ago, shut up and let it go. I love you, but if someone had stinky armpits during worship last week, let it go. I love you, but if someone stepped on your toes 10 years ago, you ain't been walking funny for the last 10 years and 6 weeks after it happened, but all you can still do is talk about someone stepping on your toe. Shut up and let it go. It's time for you to renew. It's time for you to not spew, because the minute you begin to spew, guess what else you do? Stew. And let's just be honest, the minute you start stewing, you ain't like a pot of soup on the kitchen that's going to blow its top and smell good and toot, 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 and let the whole household know that something good's smoking. Your stewing is going to blow up into an explosion of negative, death-filled cursing and comments that'll just break the future of your relationship. Stop it! I tell you what, all we need is the devil to just entangle himself in your big, pukey little mouth, and all you're going to do is start sounding off on all the pukey stuff and why you guys are so miserable. And I tell you what, before you know it, all you've done is give life to the devil anew. Well, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, you're still out there. Listen to this. I want to go to the New Testament. I want to look up just one verse of scripture in the book of Luke for you. Sometimes I do that hoping that you'll go back later and read a little more of it. But the Bible says this in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Well, let's read in verse 15. And he, meaning Jesus, said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed amongst men is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. I want you to know that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. I want you to know something, that when the kingdom of God is preached, when the word of God, which Jesus instituted, and he declared that this Bible is now in full effect. We had before Christ, but now we have after Christ died. This Bible is in full effect, and you need to function out of it, because this is the way it is, people. Listen, the Bible also says that the kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent must press into it. I'm going to tell you something. If you are not reading scripture, if you're not in prayer, if you're not using your faith, you are failing at your assignment. Now, there's grace. You better believe there's grace. But in you being a new creature, there's the responsibility of being a reconciler and being an ambassador. Do you know that if you're saved, not called to be a preacher? I'm not talking about the pulpit. I'm not talking about a pastor or an apostle or an evangelist or anything like that. I'm talking about the everyday believer who you and I are. Listen, outside of this pulpit, I have a responsibility to witness to people. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Outside of this pulpit, I have a responsibility to give my testimony to people. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. And oh, guess what? Outside of this pulpit, I have a responsibility to live my life holy, without shame, and without a bunch of sin going on, so that I don't cause my brother to stumble. And that has nothing to do with me being a pastor. That has to do with me being an everyday Christian. Sometimes we talk about this stuff and people try to exclude themselves as though this is the pastor's responsibility. No, let me tell you something. At your job and in your household, the best example of Jesus Christ ought to be you. And if your spouse is doing their job, guess what? He ought to take it as his responsibility to be the most Christian person in the home. And heaven forbid, with both of you working at it, guess what? We will see God. Roger, at your job, the person most responsible for reflecting Christ to everybody else is you. Now understand this. If I was talking to your boss, I'd tell your boss, "Boss, at your job, the person most responsible for reflecting Christ to anybody in this building is you." Guess what? Every one of us have the same responsibility. God is no respecter of person. The biggest reflection of Jesus Christ in your home ought to be you. Steve, guess what? The biggest reflection in your home ought to be you. Alicia, guess what? The biggest reflection of Christ in your home ought to be you. If I was talking to your little handsome son, guess what I'd tell him? Hey, the biggest reflection in your home of Christ ought to be you. We all carry this responsibility. Once you became saved, you took on the responsibility of being a reconciler. You also took upon the responsibility of being an ambassador. Roger, you can go home tonight and say, "Karen, the biggest responsibility for being a Christian around this house is you, young lady." Boy, guess what? I'm repenting already, Lord, because I just started a fight in the home. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hey, Miss Mary, the biggest responsibility for someone to reflect Christ in your house is you. Heaven forbid, we're all praying for that man you're married to. Hallelujah. He's working hard and doing what he can do, but my goodness, hallelujah. Oh, Taz. Uh-oh, Tazzy. Guess who has the biggest responsibility to reflect Christ in your home? Amen. Woo! Power is all up in that statement. Now listen to me. Our job is to renew, not spew. Our job is to build up, not tear down. I want you to know something that the Bible says in Romans 4:17, that the Bible says God himself speaks as things that aren't until they become. Listen, I don't know when God created me, but I know I was created before the foundation. I don't know how God decided to release me into Annie R. Walker and Philip Walker's life, but I'm glad he did, because guess what? I'm living now, and guess what? My potential for the best days of my life are out in front of me. And so are yours. You want to know why? Because God knew what would be the makeup of this time period. God knew what would be in the hearts and the souls of people, and God knew what's inside of you, and if it comes forth, it will do what it's supposed to do. Don't let the devil steal from you. The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know that the devil absolutely hates marriages? I mean, he hates marriages. He loathes them with a passion because a marriage is one of the strongest covenants ever created on this earth. Do you know that the devil hates your individual relationship with God? He wants to spew every chance he can to try to get you to leave church, leave God, leave your relationships, just give up. He speaks that trash to us every day. He tries to tell you that your past is so tough it can't be forgiven. He tries to tell you that you better be afraid over the future because something's going to come crashing down. Especially the more you're blessed, the more the devil will try to talk to you and talk you right out of what God has done on your behalf. And oh, by the way, if you faced a little resistance in your plan for God, God's plan for your life, if you faced a little resistance, hello, welcome to the club. Because Jesus faced resistance right up to the day of the cross. But he kept himself from spewing. And he just kept renewing. And even right at the last few moments before he went to the cross, the king gave him a chance and said, why don't you fight for yourself? He said that he wouldn't say a word. And the king said, they're saying that you are the Son of God. And he said, hey, they say. And he just chose to let vengeance be in the hand of a mighty God. You know what your problem is? Uh-oh, I feel this up in the Holy Ghost. Your problem is you want to take vengeance into your own hands. You want to see your own results. You want it to happen the way you want it to happen. You want judgment and justice to come the way you see fit when you got a God that says pray for your enemies. How dare you try to take God's word and crush it at your little hand just because it doesn't fit your scenario, and it ain't ever going to fit your scenario because God is the one that's in control. Say hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Now, I love each and every one of us, but it's time for us to G-E-T. O-V-E-R. You are S-E-L-F. See, I tried to shorten it up a little bit. I used some text spelling for you. Get over yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you're the biggest obstacle to the blessing that's coming your way. Do you know the hardest love to administer is self-love? I mean, have you ever noticed how when somebody else is broken and hurt, but you can just come in and blah, 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 blah. You can just put words all around them. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't be like that. I'm telling you, God's with you. Blah, 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 blah. But find yourself in the identical situation that you're willing to give grace and liberty to someone else over. And guess what you do? You spew instead of renew. You beat yourself up to a pulp. You act like the blood can't cover. You act like the blood can't heal. And you act like the blood can't do nothing for you, but it can do something for everybody else. That's why God says, put your thoughts on those things that are above and not beneath. Listen to me. If you don't quit self-hating, you ain't going to be able to love anybody. Amen. And if you can't love anybody, you can't reflect Christ to the world. Mm-mm-mm. The Bible says that God is love. So therefore, we have to be loved. Say amen.
Amen.
Pastor, you're preaching good. I'm hearing. I'm receiving. And I'm going to renew. And I ain't going to spew. Woo, Jesus. I want to tell you something in the book of Romans chapter 12. Man, this book of Romans has been good lately, I'm telling you. But it's always been good. It's just a matter if I read it or not. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present who?
Yourself.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I thought that all of my rescuing was supposed to be other people. Hello? No, 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 Pastor. This isn't how it's supposed to work. That should say that I'm going to present all the drunk people. That should say that I'm going to present the poor people. Pastor, no, this can't be talking about me. This must be talking about who I'm going to witness to this weekend when I go on outreach. No, let's read it again. I beseech you. That means I greatly encourage. I beseech. I surge towards you with the commanded effort and with the intensity to say, I beseech, I call, I draw, I request of you. I beseech of you with a high intensity. I beseech of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you understand that your first... Oops. Oh, no. Let's be careful with this. I'm going to put it up here where we can keep an eye on it. You behave. Now... Now, listen to this. The devil's trying to steal my most important point for you tonight. Listen, we're always ready to witness to someone else. We're always ready to tell somebody else about Jesus. But this scripture just declares that your first reasonable service is to tell yourself about Jesus. And there's a sense of urgency, Jamie. There's a sense of urgency here that says, Jamie, you must first tell yourself who you are. You must first believe who you are. You must first fix yourself before you can fix anybody else. What was the example of Jesus Christ? He started chasing the scriptures at 12 years old for who? Himself. He started chasing those scriptures for himself. Before he tried to witness to anybody, he didn't run him little self around here telling everybody about anything. He made sure that he was approved by the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. It was not, oh, I love to get to talk to you, Roger. Roger, it was not when Jesus thought that he had it all together that he brought himself forth and began to witness. Oh, no. He went at 12 years old, found out that he needed some more changing, said that he went home and he gave himself to so much study that he grew in favor with God and man. It wasn't even when he was 18 years old. It wasn't even when his mama told him to turn the stuff into wine. It was when he knew that he loved himself enough to be strong enough that in the worst battles he'd stick to him and God. And then he checked himself throughout his relationship. Throughout his growth, he would constantly go back to the garden. He'd constantly go up to the mountain. You know, Mark 1, chapter 15, 1:15, I think it says that he rose up early before the break of dawn. He rose up early. He had a big conference. Listen, Jesus had preached to thousands of people the night before, saw everybody heal. And it says that the next day, he woke up way before daylight, and he took himself away to be transformed. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, Jesus came out of the mountain and the power of God was there to heal. Only after Jesus made sure that he loved himself like the Father loved him. When he went to pray for Nazareth, he said, oh, Father, I speak out loud for their sake, not mine. He said, because me and you are in such a close relationship, I already know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Are we in close enough relationship with God to carry our cross? Are we in close enough relationship with the Lord to carry our cross with the confidence that whether if people tried to run us out of town, spit on us, hate us, talk down about us, treat us like trash, are we carrying our cross strong enough that it wouldn't cause us to falter one bit if not one man joined himself to you? Are you strong enough to be like Jesus when he looked at his disciples after he preached a hard message? He looked right at his 12, Roger, and what did he ask him? Will you go also? Because these people didn't like what I had to say. They turned their back on me. He looked at his 12 and said, are you guys going to run too? Or do you know me enough that you remember that the revelation is I am the Messiah, I'm the anointed one, and I've come to build a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I want to know, how do we know Jesus? Have we renewed our relationship with him, or are we still spewing? Lord, I believe, but I don't know if you'll do it for me. Lord, I hope I get healed. Lord, I don't know. I'm questioning you like every other man. I'm questioning you like any other truth. I tell you what, I didn't believe science. I don't like biology. I don't like math, and I'm not sure I like you, God, but I want to go to heaven if it's possible. No, we have to have serious relationships where we are grabbing a hold of God. You know what concerns me? Sometimes we'll trust Facebook more than we trust Jesus. I can tell by your post. You won't go to God in prayer for anything, but you'll go to Facebook and look for pity from anybody you can get to sneeze in a snot rag. Oh, come on. I love every one of us, but I tell you what, sometimes we are so comforted by the things of this world that we don't give Jesus any time when he needs to have the most time. Amen. We're going to learn how to renew and not spew. Oh, yeah. I just got just a little bit more. Do you guys believe me? Nope. Just a little bit. I'm almost done. Can you tell that I'm almost done? Do you believe me? Well, hallelujah. Lord, you told me we have to work on this, so I'm getting the message now loud and clear. Got to get these people to believe my word. Of course, if I'd keep it and I'd stop it, the next scripture, instead of adding five more on, maybe they might, huh? Hallelujah. You never know what's going to happen when that crazy man's in the pulpit. Titus, I want to turn to Titus chapter 3, and I'm going to begin to read in verse 3. And go through 5. It says this: For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. By the way, that was before faith. This does not mean that these are Christians living this way. He's talking about before you were saved. So if you got any of those things going on and you're calling yourself a Christian, hello, it's time to have a checkup from the heart up. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Oh, see, we used to be that way, but after the love and kindness of the Lord appeared and we got saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How does the Holy Ghost renew us? First of all, we have the salvation experience, but then the Holy Ghost teaches us all things about the Scripture. Amen? John 2:20 says, I have an unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, who will teach me all things. So the way we're going to be renewed, refreshed, and the way we're going to be transformed is by the washing of the water of the Word as it goes into our spirit and renews how we think. Amen? Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Lord is not giving you a little bit of redemption. He's not giving you just a little bit of transformation. He's not giving you a little bit of the Holy Ghost. He made sure that he was abundantly upon us. And then I'm going to give you this scripture, because this scripture is going to form the foundation of what we talk about next week and the week after. And we're even going to have questions and answers, because I believe this scripture is so profound. If I looked up and found the right one. But we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, I believe. And we're going to go to chapter 4. It says, furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4 says this: Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know that commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Uh-oh. Now we've learned that the Lord beseeches you that the first person you love and transform is yourself. And now we learn again that the first person who you should help rule their spirit and give God honor in their life is you. We need to learn how to rule our spirit and not the flesh rule our spirit. We need to learn how to rule our emotions and not the flesh rule our emotions. Do you understand that spirit, soul, and body means that once you're saved, that born again experience means that your spirit is now the most powerful vessel out of the three. Your body's no longer powerful. Remember, the Bible says that the outward man perishes every day. And we know that that ain't just the age of your flabby skin getting wrinkly and old. No, no, no. Because guess what? The outward man can be a child, right? A 5-year-old, cussy, fussy, unruly. A 15-year-old, cussy, fussy, unruly. 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 105. We could still have an old man or an old woman just as cussy, just as fiery, just as much filled with hate as they ever were when they were 25. So your outward man perishing every day is not your body and your skin getting older. It's your attitudes. It's killing off the carnal desire to cuss, fuss, to hate, to fight, to be all those things that was talked about in that previous scripture. And so we're going to kill off that old man. And we're going to let that new man speak by renewing our mind and no more spewing. By building our inward man up by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Boy, I got to get my key down right over the week so I can really sing that for you. Yeah. So much joy in the kingdom. So much joy in the kingdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to learn how to possess our vessel. Lord God, you said in your word that in a great house there are vessels of gold, silver, vessels of clay and wood, vessels of honor and dishonor. Lord, we pray that we would be accounted amongst those vessels that are of honor, God. Lord, that we would learn how to rule and possess the reins of a nature, God, that can be submitted to you, that can give you glory, Father, that could exalt you and give you greatness, God. And Father, we're going to let our light shine, not little lights, mega lights, God. We're going to let our light shine. And Father, I declare it and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, for some of you, I know you have young ones.